for the Thai family.
Very nice. Okay. So, we are about to start 4 weeks on the topic of employment. That's hiring, contracting, employee-employer relationships and responsibilities, etc. Big topic, and it's going to take a while to go through.
You want to go put your table back there so you can see better?
Maybe that's not a bad idea. In other words, that way I don't have to turn my head 180 in both directions. Okay.
You're scoring now.
Yeah, that's good. Much better. Shkaya Slava. Okay. So, it's a broad topic, and we're going to start tonight with the basics. But what I mean by a change of format is that I want to really hear the business background behind the cases we're discussing. So we're going to go a little slower. We may not get to everything. We'll try and cover the basics. And we will hopefully leave room for more discussion. In other words, I want to hear the practical end of it, because we're going to be starting the part we're starting with, I'm under the impression, is not so practical in today's business world. We'll find out if I'm right or wrong. So that's just the slight change in format. Is it's going to be more, I'm not going to be giving this year, I'm going to be listening to this year tonight. You're going to give this year.
So who's going to get paid then?
We're all going to get paid. We're all going to get paid.
Oh, I have an interesting question. So
you see, your sponsor
turns out that
Shmuel, we have to first get to what we're talking about first, then you can ask the question.
Yeah, think of the question.
That's true. You also got to think of the question first. Okay, so yeah. Let's start with page six. Let's start with page six. That's right. Okay, we're going to start with page six. Page six leads us into the beginning of our discussion, and that is the Gemara in Bava Metzia. And the Gemara says as follows. Let's see it inside. So in the gray marked off area, middle of the page, we are going to start from the second line in that gray marked off area, the fourth word on the line, D'tanya. Okay? Here, Shmuel. You know what?
I think we're in the clear. So here's your copy, too.
D'tanya. We learned in a braisa. Hasaycher sa'umnen. One who hires workers. Laborers.
Also
pilum. Or pilum. Oh, probably also pilum. The hitu as balabais. And they literally means they tricked the owner, but the employer. But we'll see exactly what that word means, tricked. Oi balabais hita oisam. Or the balabais tricked them. Ein lohem ze al ze elatarumis. There is no monetary demands that can be made. All they have about each other is complaints. So let's stop and explain. We're talking about the cases as follows. And there was a employer that hired people to do a job for him. I'd say to rake his lawn, shovel his snow, whatever it may be. And there was no contract written up, B, there was no kinyan made, which means that they didn't do some sort of acquisition to make it a binding arrangement. C, they have not yet begun their work. Okay? And one party backs out.
Mm-hmm.
He says...
Two Jewish people.
One party backs out. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm sorry, I'm not available to do your work today. Okay? Mm-hmm. So now... Either or the employer says, I'm sorry, I don't need your work today. Either way, either party backs out. So, there is no claim of money. Meaning to say, the workers, if the employer calls them up and says, look, I actually don't need your services today, even though now they have to go looking for work, they can't say, okay, you got to pay me for a lost day of work. Being that it was only a verbal agreement, they have not begun their work yet, and there was no contract, so then the owner does not owe them money.
regardless of the
poem,
yeah,
Kabbalah, you know, is this a steady kavua employee or?
That's a good question.
Obviously, it's someone that appears to be paid. Obviously, it's not salaried; otherwise, it would be a different scenario. So it must be someone in an hourly wage basis.
I would assume so. In other words, because you're assuming if there's a salary, there would be a contract.
Right, or a salary implies, regardless of exactly how many hours per day, you're getting this amount for the week. Yeah.
That's true, but let's say then I called him up and said, actually, forget it, I don't need you.
No, I think that you're describing a case where it's employment for hire.
Employment for hire? I'm not so sure. I mean, we're gonna as we learn, we're gonna discover this.
Yeah,
it's good to bring up the question now.
I have good news for you.
But Shmuel, you'll have to share it after this year, okay? Let's keep focused. Here. So that's the question. Are we talking about for hire, or are we talking about even a salary? I'm going to assume at this point, and reserve the right to change my mind. No. But again, we're just starting the sugya. So let's assume for this point we're talking about regardless. Let's say I called you up and said, can you paint my house? And I'll pay you $10,000 for the job.
Okay.
And then, he says, yeah, sure, no problem.
Verbal.
No contract. No kinyan.
No written contract.
No written contract. No kinyan. And he has not yet begun working. But he's already booked himself out
right.
a week. And, you know, he told other people he's not available.
And comes the day before, day of.
And he says, actually, I don't need you.
Change my mind.
Does he owe him any money?
You say no.
The Gemara says no. No money.
Hold on.
Yeah.
It does say that the PO you were good on time.
You're right, Shmuel. That's if they did the job already, though. We're talking about he didn't start doing the job yet.
It happens all the time in Minnesota, I can tell you that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So.
So much for Minnesota, not.
Yeah, so much for Minnesota, not.
So the Gemara says, Ein lam ze'alse ela tarumis. They only have complaints. So. What does that mean? They only have complaints. So, okay, so first of all, we know what it means. It means
they
have no claim. They have no monetary claim. Even though now they're going to have to schlep out and get some other work and whatever else may be involved, they have no claim. Okay. However, I just want to make a side point, and that is, the Gemara says, however, they could have complaints against each other. Well, why do I need the Gemara to tell me that? Of course they can have complaints against each other. So there's just happens to be, this is a side point, but there happens to be a mussar in this. It seems like it's not always so true that you can have complaints against other people. When the Torah says you can have a complaint, then you can have a complaint. But you can't have a complaint about every guy left and right that you think wronged you. The Torah is saying this is a situation,
this is a situation.
Where you are allowed to have a complaint. I can have a taina on you. I have a taina on you. I'm upset at you. Here you're allowed to be upset at the person. You're not always allowed to be upset at the person, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. You see from the Gemara that it's not a free country. Got that on record?
Yeah.
Definitely not anymore. But you when you can have complaints, you can have complaints. When you can't, you can't. That's a side point. Okay, but the important point is we just established a very important point. You called up Tony the painter, or like Ron is saying, it seems like Yankel the painter also. And you told him, I want you to work next week. He blocked out his week. You call him the day of. You say, actually, don't need you. And he didn't start work yet. There's no written contract. Which is, I think, now coming to think about it, now that we're discussing it, I would think this is pretty typical of that type of work.
Yeah.
Right? You don't make a contract with your plumber or your painter. He agrees to come down.
You know, who's blocking out a week of his time to paint your house for a reasonably significant amount of money. Presumably he's busy. He's probably going to present you with some kind of agreement to say, okay, maybe a little down payment. If not a down payment, at least a signature.
Right, it's not like a 2 hours nap.
You're confirming your hire.
So that's why we're changing the format tonight for me to find out all the good news. I'm a young homeowner.
You're You're saying Lamaisa, it doesn't happen at all.
Doesn't happen. You call
not
the,
with the
you,
painter, with
you
the
know,
plumber, yes, not with the painter.
The painter, or you call, you know, like the guys that do stuff
more
around
skilled,
the house.
I guess more skilled workers will ask you to sign a contract.
Right.
Electrician or a painter or HVAC guy.
Yeah.
Not a painter.
Yeah.
Even if you had to say it's going to take like a whole house.
Yeah. You know, there was a guy.
He blocked his calendar. He probably passed up other jobs.
It's a dual responsibility. The painter can also call you on the day off and say, you know
right.
what, I'm not showing up.
Right. right. According to this halakha,
right.
If he calls
you
up and says, I'm not showing up.
He could pull the same stick on you.
Yes.
Excellent. So
he found some a little bit more profitable project than
right.
yours.
Exactly.
Especially now,
right.
people are in such a demand that you know, people are overbidding each other. So
right.
he found the same house for $14,000.
Yeah.
So why
right.
would he show up at, you know, at your house? Then?
Right. So this is what we're saying. There's no monetary, according to the Torah, there's no monetary claim in that case.
No.
I just want to ask another question while we're on the table.
Like Russia, is there any kind of...
So we'll get there. Okay. So that's the next question. Is he considered evil? Is it not recommended by the Torah? We'll get there. Okay. But now I want to ask another... Yeah. Dual. Jews and non-Jews.
Jews and non-Jews.
Yeah. Now I want to know another thing. Does anyone here know about anything in the American legal system that says to the contrary? If you made a verbal agreement.
Verbal agreements do not stay in court. That's what I know.
Yeah. That's what I figured.
Yeah. Anything I would have thought would be a little
there's
more...
There's guys in papers also that you have to go to court for.
Mm.
I would have thought, if anything, halacha would be a little more humble because it would cause a loss.
Okay.
If they...
Yeah.
Hey, I passed up for another job, you know.
Excellent. Okay, fine. Good. So I'm glad I came tonight. See, I'm learning stuff as we go. Okay. So that's the first halacha of employee-employer, a verbal agreement without any other commitment, and he did not start the job yet. Then he although he can have a grievance against you, but he can't have a monetary claim.
Ah, so here's the case. Okay, we hired Mr. I Mrs. Zucker to hire a painter.
Right.
And painters came in, did that. So after that, they took a break. So since they paid, so they can not get paid.
Ah.
They're taking a break.
Mm. Right.
Well, you should pay.
Okay. So a pay date is just what I mentioned from Yisrael Salanter. We're not going to read it inside. But it's just interesting. We'll read the English on the bottom on page 8. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Zichron El Bracha, explains Tarumis as the Torah's sanctioned right to bear a personal grudge against the offending party. It's not an automatic. It's a fascinating thing how much a Jew has to control himself. It's not an automatic. The Torah sometimes sanctions the right to bear a personal grudge. Okay. On page 9, this brings up what Ron was saying. Okay, so we've established that in a case of a verbal agreement, he doesn't owe you the money.
And if he asks for Mechila, he's still got to grant him Mechila.
So, right, you should not be an Achzor, you should still grant him Mechila. However, you have the right to go over him and say, I have tinus on you. Well, what's that about? You have the right to say that. That's what Yisrael Salanter is saying. Okay, so now, the next question is as follows.
In essence, to say, I want him to feel a little bad. I wanted to understand...
That you're upset. You're allowed to tell him that you're upset.
If you have tithes, you should tell him you're upset.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
The parasha.
What?
What good does it do?
Don't bear
so you're upset. So what?
Maybe he'll feel bad. I don't know. Maybe he'll try and compensate you.
He's more miserable.
I hear. Okay. Now, Ron asked a question. Even though it's true, a verbal agreement... Oh, I'm sorry, Sender. Here. I forgot to put it back. On page 9. So we said that a verbal agreement in between two parties, and they backed out, there is no monetary claim one on the other. They can bear a grudge, which is called tarumis, but there's no monetary. So Ron said, is that okay? Can you just do that then? If there's no monetary claim, maybe you could just back out, right? So on page 9, it says, and we're not, the Hebrew is a little detailed, because Rav Eliashiv is, they're pulling something out of what he's saying in the middle of the sugya, so we'll just read what it says on the bottom. Rav Eliashiv Zalf clarifies that causing this kind of grievance is actually forbidden, meaning that the parties should try their utmost not to renege on such an agreement. In other words, We're not just saying, well, if it's only in a verbal agreement, so therefore I can back out because there's no monetary claim.
Which basically means your word means nothing.
Which means your word means nothing. No, that's incorrect. Your word does mean something, and therefore you should try to keep that agreement.
Yeah, Bianca?
Yes.
So isn't being good a lot in the
time? In certain instances, which is out of the scope of this discussion, but this wouldn't be included.
Is it, this come up often by real estate?
Okay. Again, I just want to say, Mark, we're changing the format tonight. I'm not giving this year tonight. Everyone's going to tell me where what we're discussing is negeya in practically. I'm just going to be the moderator.
There was a
No.
So by real estate, someone says, "Yeah, I'm going to buy that house." Yeah, and tells you, but of course, real estate has certain triggers, you know, in terms of signing and deposit, and earnest money, and all these things. But it's not uncommon to have multiple people bidding on a house, right? And then someone says, "Oh, no, I'm for sure going to take it." And then again, hasn't performed on any of those, but then says, "No, they're actually, you know."
Right. I'd imagine real estate is very regulated, that they try and get your pen on paper, because otherwise, like you said, a verbal agreement holds nothing in court. So,
or seller says, "Yeah, okay, I'm selling. You're it." Someone comes along in the meantime with a bigger offer, and you hadn't signed and consummated with this one, even though you promised it. And
are you talking the one broker representing both the buyer?
It happens all day long.
No, not in Minnesota. Very slippery slope.
Sorry,
is that a different thing? Buying this
even a verbal.
Even a service?
No. So right. I just want to point out, Ron, that we're really talking about a service. We're talking about agreement between two people to provide the service. So we're talking about labor. Like we said, we're talking about the painter who you hired him to do your house for $10,000, and he booked out a week, and you called him the day of before he started work, and you know the guy, you know this poor painter, he doesn't get your signature on paper. He didn't ask for a down payment. Called him the day of, and he said, "I'm out." According to the Torah, there is no monetary claim. Okay, so now let's move on.
But could there be other? In other words, he says reaction is usher, right?
Yes, you should not do it.
So is there other cases where it's usher where you can't have tarumas? Or is it the other way around? Which is
We'll see.
Usher, but still no claim. Still no monetary.
We'll see. We'll see. There's a couple other points to make over here. Okay. Let's move on to page 10. Let's take our painter case and make it a little more exciting. That morning, before you called him and canceled, someone else called the painter and said, "Yeah."
Can you think?
So that morning that you about to cancel on the painter, someone else called up the painter and said, "Are you available this week? I want you to do my house, starting today." He says, "No, I'm not available. I'm sorry." And then you cancel on him. And he now has right in his lap. He calls the guy back. He's able to, you know, assuming the guy didn't get someone yet, he can call the guy back. He's all set to go. He's hired. In other words, if he's not going to have any difficulty finding another source of employment. So is that a case where he even has tarumas? Can he bear a grudge against you? Can he have a grievance against you? Again, of course, like we said, there's no monetary claim because there was no kinyan, there was no contract, and he didn't start working.
It still wasn't nice of you to do, was it? I happened to not lose out because I was able to shift gears, you know. But
so then,
it still wasn't right for you to, you know.
Right. Yeah, so the answer is, yeah. But on the other hand...
The other hand, you know, it's fine. It's also for you to do, but we taught him.
The grievance
he's okay.
Based on my loss, you're saying.
So that's a good question. So back on page 7, I'm sorry to make everybody flip around, but there's a ritva. What is the reason for the tarumas?
The one is that's Geneva's das.
It's not Geneva's das.
Then what is it?
It's backing out of a contract. Okay, page 7. Shmuel, we got to stick to the program. Page 7. Let's look on the column 2. We're in the gray marked off area. And it's the second last word on the line. The Avogav de Bereshin, the first case in the Mishnah, which we discussed, where they backed out. Lekha Dover Ovid. We'll get to what that means, Dover Ovid, in a minute. Afilachi Ika Tarumis. There is a personal grudge. So this is the case we mentioned where two people backed out. where either party backed out before it was just a verbal agreement, there is a you're allowed to bear a grudge. Says the Ritzvo. Why? Three reasons. Oy mishum de mechzikechucha. Either because you made me look like a fool. Right? Here I was, all ready to start working, and then the guy calls me up and says, I don't need you. So what do I feel like? Or the painter calls up the employer on the day of and says, I'm out. Right? So, also, reason number one.
So
reason number two.
Even though he gets another job,
no? That's right. So according to that reason, it would still apply even if he gets another job. Reason number two. Or because if I have to start dealing with someone else, I have that original discomfort of dealing with a new person. I dealt with you already. I spoke with you on the phone. We arranged it. I'm comfortable with the arrangement. Now you backed out on me, so now I have to go find someone else to start again. That's not fair.
Now that's one. It doesn't apply because we're assuming this other guy calls, you're comfortable shifting gears.
Yeah, but maybe,
you're not so comfortable,
or maybe not.
You're desperate for the work.
You told
right.
them no already.
Right.
You told them no already, so maybe you feel kind of silly calling.
Right. Third reason. Okay, we're on a roll. So far, it sounds like it doesn't matter that I have another job lined up.
Yeah.
Right? Because either way, I'm still going to feel like a fool. I still have to get comfortable with a new employer. Third reason. The third reason is that people are going to spread rumors. Why did he, in fact, back out? Maybe the painter is not so competent. Or why did the painter back out? Maybe this person is not so reliable, right? Okay. So, basically, for all three reasons mentioned, it would seem that we the assembled, should paskin that if the person, even if he has another job lined up, he can bear a grievance. Surprisingly, the Shach, on page 10, says that he cannot bear a grievance. And the reason is because the Shach assumes a fourth reason why he's allowed to bear a grievance, and he considers that to be the one and only reason. And that is as follows. Okay, so we're on page 10, on the left side of the page.
It seemingly Rav Yashiv concurs with those three reasons. And
well, he doesn't talk about the specific reason. He just says it's usher to make that personal grievance, but to make that situation. He doesn't say what the problem is. Okay, so let's see. We're in the Shach, okay? So this is on page 10, on the left side of the page. Ella Tarumas, okay, in the gray marked off here on the left side of the page. Sheyachol bala bayis loymer lepoil. The owner can tell the worker, Hasker asmachol b'malkom acher. Why is there no monetary claim? You say, go get work somewhere else. Vegama poil emer lebala bayis, or the poil can tell the owner, the employer, say uschar lecha poil acher. Go hire someone else, right? I'm not backing out in the middle of the job. Ella sheyesh ala chayzer tarumas. The person who backs out has the right to bear a grudge, a grievance, bishvil hatoyrach, because now I got to schlep around finding another worker, or on the other side of the story, I have to schlep around finding another job. So the Shach says the ikar reason to bear the grievance according to the Torah is because of the tircha involved. Therefore, says the Shach a few lines later, right at the end of the marked off area. Three lines up from the end of the marked off area. Lefizeh, based on this, Heicha de ain't kan tircha. If there's no tircha involved, kegoin shemoitzim balabayis acher lahasker zatzman, they find some other employer, they have one available, or the flip side, if he has some other worker available, ain lohen alav afilu tarumis. He can't even bear a personal grudge. So again, had we not seen that Rav Yisrael Salanter, we'd all be wondering, like, what do you mean? Of course, has the right to bear a grudge? But again, Rav Yisrael Salanter is saying, feelings are not a free-for-all. It has to be sanctioned by the Torah to be able to go over to the guy and say, I have tightness on you, even though there's no monetary enough to me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I might have missed it at the beginning, but it's assuming here that they didn't have a shower.
Yes.
So then what's the finish of
anyone having any comment.
So the chiddush, there's two chiddushim. The one chiddush is that a verbal agreement is not monetarily binding. Mm-hmm. That's on the one hand. So. On the other hand, this is Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's point, is you might think, well, of course, now you could be mad at the guy. At least that you reserve the right to have, right? Even if I can't get money out of you, I could be upset at you. That was Slava's kasha. I don't know. You guys are too nice. So how did I get such a nice crowd here? I don't know. Okay. Okay. So now let's.
He should be upset with himself. He doesn't have a conscience.
Yeah. I hear. Okay.
You always learned that your father-in-law used to say, if you don't have a star, no grounds to come afterwards and
with money for sure, right? Monetarily, that's true. Right. Okay, but tarumas you have. That's the Gemara saying. You have the right to bear tarumas. Right. Okay. But see how conditioned the Torah obligates us in our emotions. Okay. Let's talk about an exception now. That's on page 11. Okay. Page 11 is the Ramah, and the Ramah says like this.
He's from Krakow. and I have a book from the bookstore.
From Frankel's?
Yeah, from Frankel's.
Is in that
book?
Yeah. Get a good price.
Okay, yeah. So it says like this. Says the Rambam. Af al pi. So the Rambam is the small print on page 11 in the marked off area. Af haga. Af al pi, even though shebidvarim, when there's just a verbal agreement, beloy mois, where no money was put down, you could back out. And you don't get, well, maybe we assume, I assume we will talk about this later on. There's a pretty nasty curse that the Torah gives for backing out of an agreement called a mishapara. We'll talk about it later. But in this case, you don't have the mishapara.
Does it have to do with a cow?
No, not that type of part. Roy la adam lame bidibure. It's appropriate for a person to stand by his word. Af al pi shalai asa shum kinyan, even though he didn't make any manner of acquisition to make it binding, rak dvarim ba'alma, it was just a verbal agreement, still he should stand by his word. V'chol achayzer boy, whoever backs out, bein loikeach, bein meicher, whether it is the loikeach or the meicher, the buyer or seller or employer employee, ein ruach hachamim neichem menu, the chazal are not happy with this fellow. V'hani mili, this is only talking about, bechad tari, if the market price has stayed the same. I will betray Tari if the market price for the item has changed. Ein ze mimechusrei amona. This is not considered a lack of faithfulness. Okay. So, and then later on, he brings an opinion that argues on that.
But you're still taking advantage of the fact that you didn't have a verbal agreement. Because
true. Because if you had a verbal agreement, you'd get stuck.
A written agreement.
You'd be stuck.
Yeah,
true. And therefore, there are two opinions. One opinion says, okay, but the market price changed, you have a fair excuse. The other opinion is, no. A word's a word. A void is a void. Right? Of course, that's called lacking faithfulness. Amazing. Amazing what the Shulchan Aruch requires of us.
Makes it sound like it's very clear you're allowed to renege, you know.
On the one opinion, and then at the end he says, Yesh Aimrim, some say, where did I put that? Page 12, on page 12. Yesh Aimrim, Dafiu betray Tari, even if the market price has changed, also lach, so you can't renege. V'im chazer bay, Yesh bay mishum mechusar amana. If he did back out, that's considered a lack of faithfulness. Okay, so let's look on the English in the bottom of page 11. Ramah cites an opinion that allows defaulting on a verbal agreement if there was a market change or some other significant occurrence. This can be applied to verbal agreements of employment as well, although the case in the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a purchase, but it can be applied to a verbal agreement of employment as well. Example, the rates changed or he found a cheaper alternative. Okay, so we all understand how that applies to the case of our dear painter. Right, he wakes up the day of, and he realizes that he has some cheaper way of doing it. Happens all the time, right? Happens all the time. So then it would seem that it's a machlekas.
It gives you some kind of reason versus just being deciding.
No, yeah, it has to be some important reason. Right? Yeah. Right. That being said, it seems to be that it's still a matter of question, because the Rambam brings two opinions. One opinion is you got to stick to your word. The other opinion is, because of this occurrence, You could change. Okay.
Parshas Matas.
Parshas Matas. You got to stick to your word. That's right, Shmuel. All right. Okay. Page 13. Let's read the Aruch HaShulchan. So, again, we discussed the verbal agreement you should not back out of, but if you do, there's no monetary obligation. That was point number one. Point number two, if there is some sort of occurrence took place, you found a cheaper alternative, there was a change in market price or in the rate for this employment, as a question, the Rambam brings two opinions, whether that gives you the right to back out or no, is still considered a lack of trust. There is one case where everyone agrees that there's no problem to back out, and that is as follows. Okay, so the Aruch HaShulchan brings down this opinion of the Rambam that even in the case we mentioned where there was a change, you should not back out. And he says as follows, in the beginning of the first marked off line, in the middle of the line, some say, Shadin Chazorazu, that backing out of an employment agreement, a verbal employment agreement, Kedin Chazoras Mekach Bedvarim, it's the same as backing out of a verbal agreement to purchase something. Shahachazer Boy, that one who backs out, Ein Ruach Chachamim Neichemenu, the Chachamim are not pleased with him, Behumi Mechusrei Amana, and he's considered to be lacking trust. Ulamisha Seivisham, and according to the opinion over there, the more stringent opinion, the afilu, that even kishenishtana hamekach, if the market price did change, mikri mechusrei amana, that is considered a lack of trust. Hachanami kainhu, so too by employment, if the rate changed or if you found a cheaper alternative, afilu nishtana mikri apoylim, even if the rate of the employment changed, nikri mechusrei amana, if you back out, that is considered a lack of trust. Miu, here comes the big but. However, im habalabais loy hutzrach lahamalacha, if the balabais no longer needed the work, lefi mashin is chadish achakach ba'asakov, because of something that occurred later on, that an unforeseen circumstance, I wouldn't say unforeseen circumstance, I would say something occurred later on that made the work unnecessary. So now we're going to have to drop our painter case because the elves didn't come overnight and paint his house, right? So we'll have to figure out. Right, we'll have to figure out some other case, okay? Some other case, we have to get a little creative.
My wife deciding to not paint, she's going to redo the house. The gumray.
Or she spent all night thinking about if it was really a good idea to paint it. She spent the whole night deciding if it really was a good idea to paint the house green, and then she decided really blue was her favorite color, and she decided to leave it as is. Whatever it may be, it became unnecessary. You didn't just change your mind. You didn't even find a cheaper alternative. The whole thing became unnecessary. Then you could back out. Or another case, Oishin is Vadloy, or it became apparent to him, She'ein Poilim Elu Oiskim Bahamalacha Karoi. These workers are not
qualified.
Someone called you up and said, look, I know these guys.
Yeah.
I know their work.
Sloppy.
Right. So you're allowed to dump them. Okay? The ain la pile of tarumis. He can't even bear a grudge against you. The ain.
Isn't there a shmiras halashan issue of someone calling up and offering that?
If it's tayalas and you didn't
you
believe it and you did your
once you already consummated the deal,
right? Even so, well. First of all,
you didn't consummate because it wasn't written.
Yes.
But even in that case, you'd be able to cancel.
And you have to. It's a real serious concern that there's sloppy work is a serious concern. It's a big mum, right? No, it's something that makes a big difference to the job. So then you'd be able to do your drisha v'chakira, your research, and if it's goyim, it's not even that level because there's no azhara not to be mekabelosh and har about a goy, and then you'd be able to go ahead and do your thing. Okay, but any nikra mechusrei amana, that is not called a lack of trust. V'chein im chazru apoilim, so too if the workers backed out. Machmas eze hischadshus nesav aslam, because of some situation that arose by them. Ein lebal abayis lov tarumus, v'eni mechusrei amana. Okay, so there we go. So here's our exception. Okay, so that's pretty straightforward. So I think we've taken care of our painter. Page 14.
You're asking them to perform, but if they back out, they have no obligation to perform. If they themselves back out, So they don't have to find a replacement or anything like that.
I see.
So basically what they're looking for is a promise to pay.
I see.
That's all they're looking for, promise to pay.
Right.
So they'll be able to perhaps do like a construction lien, you know, if you don't pay them within, you know, 6 weeks, you know, from the completion of the job.
Right.
Like that. But it doesn't say in the contract if they back out what happens.
Right.
It's one-sided contract pretty much.
Okay, so when we get to contracts, we'll
yeah, so anyway, we'll have to do with Yom Kippur. You say come on Yom Kippur, so it doesn't matter all of them say they may make the painting.
This is not a vow, though. Okay, next. Page 14. I don't know if this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, so it's interesting to me that they're bringing this down. Let's say you were you backed out of a verbal agreement. Is there a midas chasidus? Is there an idea of going beyond the letter of the law to actually pay the money, even though there's no monetary? So it would seem that there's you know, we discussed some earlier points. I think it was in one of the first shiurim, the difference between midas chasidus and lotzis yidei shemayim. There's three levels of obligation. A, if Beis Din can extract the money from you. B, even if Beis Din cannot extract the money from you, sometimes you're obligated bidei shamayim to pay. You're obligated, you know, you're gonna take a heavenly reckoning if you don't pay. There's a third madrigo where even in shamayim they're not gonna ask it of you. But if you're a person of the appropriate stature, you should be going beyond the letter of the law to pay. So it seems like beyond the letter of the law, there's an obligation to pay. However, it doesn't seem like there's a heavenly reckoning, a chi of latzis yidei shemayim to pay. Okay, so for the great and righteous amongst us, if that ever happened, if you backed out of a verbal agreement, maybe you should consider paying. All right. Yes.
There are some instances where you can ask somebody to come and say, do measurements on your property, like even for painting.
Yes.
They charge by square foot.
Consultation or whatever it may be.
Measurements.
Mm-hmm.
To do an estimate.
Estimate, I'm sorry, that's what I meant.
Measurements,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And they come on and say, okay, we'll do it for free for you.
Yeah.
It would be part of the deal.
Right.
But then you back out, do you have to pay him?
So really I want to know, that's also some information I would like to know. Is an estimate usually done as a promotion? And they don't know they're for sure going to get the business? Or if you hire them, they'll throw in the estimate for free?
Do you ever charge for an estimate by itself?
Do I?
I'm saying...
In general.
I don't do work. I don't do manual labor, but...
Right, I'm saying... Would
some people do.
Uh-huh.
For that reason.
Yeah, like Home Depot for sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah, they send somebody to measure. It's like $110.
And
right.
If you do the work with them, they'll rebate it.
They will, you know...
Right.
Forgive, you know.
Right.
Forgive, you know,
so then it would be the same thing. If he didn't come out yet for the estimate and you canceled,
no,
you don't know
anything. Sorry, I'm saying he came out, he gave you a full-blown estimate.
Right.
You agreed on a date, you agreed on the price, you agreed on everything.
And then you
backed
out.
That's there, you just described a little bit different than before, because now there was some amount of work before.
There was always some work.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
When they come out, look at your house and say, Ron, you know, you've got, you know, three sides to paint, one side is all brick, you know, it's work, it's their time.
Right, so that's a good question.
Time is also valuable. It's not like, you know, you can get 10 estimates. I mean...
We've never been paid to...
That's a good question, right.
...participate in very large proposals, requests for proposals.
In your business?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a different story.
Yeah.
Right?
Because numbers are totally different.
It may depend on, in other words, yeah.
The guy goes to do an estimate, and he loses 3 hours out of his workday.
If he's a laborer,
so, you know, he's
a big deal.
$50.
So that's a good question.
It's a significant loss.
So let's break down the question. I don't know if I'm going to have the answer, but let's break down the question.
And sometimes they spend hours on requests for proposals.
Right, but
right.
You know, that's their business.
Right.
To submit those proposals.
Right.
Right. So let's break down the question and let's see how we could figure it out.
Yeah.
So it would be industry based.
Yeah.
So, but assuming we're in an industry where it would be
estimates are needed
and they are they would expect payments if you didn't follow through with the job.
And what if the guy tells you the estimate's free because, you know, he tells you he expects to get the job, so therefore he's willing to do it for free, even though you know he's spending time, he's spending $150
right.
or 3 hours worth of his time, comes out, majors, has to create the...
So, like I said before, it would depend, first of all, if he's only doing it because you already agreed to the job, or if he's doing it because he hopes he'll get the job. I think in most cases he's doing it because he hopes he'll get the job.
Right.
In which case, you don't owe him anything. He's
yeah.
taking the risk. But if you know, he comes out...
Because you
already... He already gave you an estimate, and you made a verbal agreement. Now he's coming out to do a little bit of a more practical surveil of the details to see which paints he needs and whatever it is. Is that considered that he started his job already, which we'll look about in a minute, or not?
Yeah, that already.
I don't know the answer.
Well, he's involved. He's engaged.
I hear argument either way. You could say
he's a fool because he didn't get a signed contract.
But you know what? let's take a step weiter.
Put it on paper.
Let's go a little bit further.
If you have it right, they won't be painters.
Okay. Well, let's go a little bit further, and we will come back to this question. This is a very good. This has potential. This question. Okay. So let's go through the next few pages, and we'll see where this is negative.
Yeah.
Okay. Page 15. We're running slightly short on time, so we're going to read the English on this one. Page 15. If defaulting on the agreement can cause damage or loss to the other party, it is prohibited to back out of the deal. Loss does not mean that now he's going to have to spend time finding work. Loss means that he, in other words, it's not that you are not providing with profit and therefore he's not going to make money today and therefore he's going to lose. He's talking about he's relying on you in the situation of the mission is as follows. A person has his hides cooking up in the pot, or his flax cooking up in the pot. Part is already being processed, and you're the guy who comes in and finishes the product, and you agree to work with him. And he put his stuff in the pot because he knows you're coming to finish the product. If you back out now, that stuff is kaput.
Right.
There's a loss. Yeah.
So then you can't back out. Another very interesting case, and that's the next thing we'll read about. This would include even non-monetary damages, such as not having music at a wedding. What's a wedding without music? So the guy calls you up the day of and says, "Sorry, I'm out."
Yeah.
It happens to be with a musician. You always sign a contract.
Yeah.
But if he was a fool, as Mark would say, and he did not make a contract, so then he can't back out. Because you're going to have a wedding without music, that's a loss. Even though it's not necessarily a monetary loss, but that is a loss. That's what Tosis says.
The music could come from an iPhone, too.
That's true, but it ain't the same. You know, it just ain't the same, Shmuel.
It's not like a 15-piece band.
Right.
It's like a 52-piece band also.
Now, here comes a real surprise. If the worker does try to back out, the employer may deceive him by falsely offering a higher wage.
What is it?
Whoa.
Okay, so let's go to our musician case. It's 11:30 in the morning. The musician calls up. It's 11:30 in the morning. The musician calls up and he backs out. You say, "Okay, you know what? I was going to pay you $5,000. I'm willing to give you $8,000. So $8,000? Okay, fine. I can make it work.
We'll figure it out.
He comes and plays.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay him $8,000. You pay him $5,000.
That's halacha.
Halacha. It's a mishnah.
Wow.
Hey. Awesome.
What should you do? Let's read it inside. It's the last line in the mishnah. So it's the second. Let's look in the bottom.
Any questions? Ask the local
orthodox. Anything that's going to cause a loss. V'chazru behen. And they backed out. Makam she'ein sham adam. If there's nobody else available, soicher alein. You can hire someone else at their expense. Or you can trick them into the job.
Wow.
Fascinating. I'm not sure. I really want it to be mine in it because it's interesting how that.
Okay. If you cancel within 12 hours of the event,
Yeah.
Pay a penalty.
Yeah.
And you want cancel certificate.
Yeah.
By the way, those contracts only one sided again. I mean, it's only promised to pay the musician. It doesn't say if they cancel what happened.
So you have to make your own contract.
Yeah, make your own.
You have to make your own. You have to make your own. You have to be a smart guy. You know, that's the thing here. You can't be a schlepper. You have to. Right. You have to. Okay, let's move on because we're almost out of time here. On page 16. This is at the bottom, again, the same parak and Bava Metzia discussing the laws of employment. The bottom of the page. V'hatanya, we learned in a braisa, ha-soicher es ha-poyel. A guy hired a worker. Again, back to our painter. He's in the middle of his job. He's painting the house. In the middle of the day, he gets a phone call. Relative died. So what should he do? Should he keep painting? Right? Of course not. Or he got a heat stroke. Im sachirhu, or a fever or whatever, or a coronavirus. Im sachirhu, nice and nice charei. You got to pay him. Im kablinhu, if he's a salary worker, a contracted worker, nice and like kablinusa, you got to pay him his contract. If he backed out due to unforeseen circumstances, you have to pay him. So if you have a.
He still has to complete the job.
Does he have to complete the job? You have to pay him for whatever work he did already. Mm-hmm. So let's see, that's a good point. It's Rashi at the top, page 17. Nice and Leischare, says Rashi, on the left side, left top left. Hoyel va'anusu, since he is an Einus, ein l'kainsai v'la'as es yadei al tachtayna. You cannot knas him. You cannot put yadei al tachtayna. You can't make him, you know, on the underdog. You have to pay him. It was half day. You have to pay him for half the work. So, if you hired a Jewish laborer and one of his relatives died, now he's got to sit Shiva for a week and he can't finish the job for you, and you have to get someone else to finish it, you pay him for it. And, or if he's a non Jewish employer, you have to give him.
What are you paying for?
Let's say he painted half the house already.
I'm working?
No, he painted half the house. He got through half the house. Now his relative died.
Painted.
Yeah, already painted some.
Oh, okay.
So you have to pay him for whatever work he did.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's move on to page 18. Once a worker begins working, again, we made a verbal agreement. No star. And he began working, that's as good as a written agreement. That's as good as making a kinyan, and therefore he can no longer back out. Either party.
He set up to work for a week to paint your house. He shows up after 1 hour's worth of work,
he's in. He can't get out, and you can't get him out. I mean, unless he's I don't. We're talking about where you just want to back out because whatever.
What
you know?
If you see that he's doing a sloppy job?
That is a good question. If you see he's not up to par, that would seem to be something else.
Let's here's the thing.
It never happened to you, probably.
let's say
that's a problem.
You hired him, and it's understood when you hire a painter. Sometimes you check references. Sometimes you go and you check online the ratings, the feedback, what people say. Or if you choose not to, you knowingly chose not to. Now you hire. He works for an hour. Okay, and all of a sudden your neighbor calls you and says, do you have ABC Painter painting your house? Oh my gosh, such a dick. That guy, he messed up my friend, and he messed up this one. He's going to do a horrible job. Now, so far, he's an hour into the job. That's this guy's opinion?
That would be a different story. No, that would for sure be a different story. But we're talking about where... We're talking about where he's taco slob, and you see he's a slob, and maybe you didn't know about it before for whatever reason. Yeah, he's...
he painted your house and not the neighbor's house by accident.
Right. Okay. So then, but in a typical case, you're right. Right. That's not a typical case, but in a typical case, once he begins work, the idea is, even though all you made was a verbal agreement, and the whole shiur is based on the premise that a verbal agreement is not a monetary obligation, beginning the work is like making a kinyan. It's like making a binding acquisition.
But can you negotiate yourself out of contract then?
Yeah, you could negotiate out of contract, and that I'm sure we'll discuss in the coming weeks. Yeah, we'll have to see how the halacha looks at that. Yeah. And page 19 is, like I said, the Ramban explains that the commencement of labor is the equivalent of a kinyan on the employment, and therefore the employer may not renege at all once the worker started their job. Even when the worker incurs no financial loss, example, they had no other work regardless, he didn't have another job lined up anyway, so he's not losing out, this was all gain. Either he was going to make the money or he was going to be zero. It wasn't because he agreed to you, he lost out someone else. It doesn't matter. Regardless, you can't get rid of him. So now let's pull back in our Mr. Estimate or our Mr. Surveil. He came out. You already made a verbal agreement. He came out to look at the details to see what supplies he's going to have to get.
Right.
Is that considered he started his work or not?
So this is after you already agreed, so maybe he came out and did a free estimate.
But this is already, he started the so to speak, the job,
you
but without the actual...
You already committed.
Right, you committed, but without that, he didn't start the actual avoda. He didn't start the brush strokes. But he's kind of starting the...
I would say yes. That's all part of...
I would think so.
Starting.
I would think so. Okay. Okay, one more... fascinating Gemara, and we will see exactly how this applies. Okay, we have 4 more minutes. Okay, so surprise. Even though we said once you started the work, neither party can back out. The Gemara seems to say there's a very, very large exception to this. The Gemara says, and this is page 20, the middle of the page. The Amar Rav. Rav says. A worker can back out even in the middle of the day, even in the middle of the job. And the reason is, the Gemara gives, because it says in the Pasuk, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. Klai Yisrael are only servants to Hashem. Li avodim, v'loy avodim, v'loy avodim. They're not servants to anybody else. And therefore, because a Jew is only bound to Hashem, not bound to other people, he may back out in the middle of the day.
Wow.
That seems pretty stunning, right? So let's qualify it a little bit.
And this Shmuel,
we're going to have to hold the questions for the end, okay?
Okay.
Let's keep going over here. We have to finish up. Okay, page 20. So let's read the English on the bottom. The Torah gives Jewish workers a special right to back out where no damage or loss will be caused to the employer. That's a very important clause, even in the middle of a job. So in other words, in a case where normally because you entered a binding agreement, you would not be allowed to back out regardless of whether there was a loss or not, like we mentioned before. But over here, if it's not going to cause them a loss, not such a common case, but if it's not going to cause him a loss, he has someone else lined up to take over right away, whatever it may be, you can back out. Okay? So this is if you made a verbal agreement and he started working. What if he made a contract? Can he back out mid-contract?
Sure.
No.
Oy vey.
No. Why not? What's the difference? You said that contract is as good as the...
Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim le'avon avadim. That's what Slav says. Mark says, chas v'shalom. Okay. So let's see. Page 21. The Shach is of the opinion that a Jewish worker may back out even after he signed a contract or performed a kinyan.
Who would want to work with you then?
Never hire a Jewish painter.
We've done many things in the world to promote business.
That's the opinion.
And here we open up the world's floodgates that says, yeah, I get tired, I get lazy, I don't feel like finishing the job.
Yeah.
I hear.
Is the employer hired to pay him for what he did?
Yep.
So he stops in the middle.
He's done.
He's
unlike maybe painting.
Why? Okay, but wait one second. We're not done yet. Okay.
Yeah.
The Rama.
5 cents and
says that if his only claim for wanting to back out is because he found a more lucrative job, he may not back out. Seems like he has to have a plausible excuse. It's not an unforeseen circumstance, but he has to have a plausible excuse. And even a higher pay cut somewhere else says the Ramad is not a plausible excuse.
Is it just a Jewish worker or any worker?
So this is just a Jewish worker has this right.
Oh.
Okay, and now just to finish off the shir, it would seem therefore that one case where this would be nageya would be to Kenyan's on already.
Yeah.
One case where this would be nageya is the case mentioned. I don't know if I printed it out. Oh, everyone got this question here in the beginning. Some questions to think about. Okay, think about question number two.